Well, it's good to see all of you here. Enjoy that singing and testimony time. That was sweet. And that harmonica is awesome. Thank you, brother, for bringing it. I love it when you play that harmonica with us. Just love it. So thank you very much, brother.
You're welcome.
All right. Well, we've been in 1 Peter chapter 4 now for quite a long time. And we're going to be back there again today. Last time we were here, actually, we left it for a little while because it was close to Resurrection Sunday. That was last month. And we looked at the historical account of Jesus on the Emmaus Road. You remember that? We looked at that last time. But the time before that, we'd started a study on 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. And we looked at some important instructions that God gave us through Peter that help bind us together closer as brothers and sisters in the Lord, bind us together in love. You know, it's really important, especially important during times of difficulty, when things are not going well. We need to be bound together in love. So we're going to pick up where we left off last time. Now, the truth is, it's important all the time. Even if things seem to be going pretty well, we need to be bound together in love. But especially when the adversity gets heavier. If you're keeping up with the news, it's pretty dark out there these days. You know, we're living in a dark time. Things are getting worse. More and more people are redefining what's right and what's wrong. You know, that's going on. A lot of people now think just because the Bible says it, that doesn't matter to them. You know, it's just if they don't like it, they just do what they want to do. Every man does what's right in his own eyes is basically where we are. And that's where the Bible says they were in Judges, in the days of the Judges, and it was really horrible. So that's kind of where we're headed back again. Everybody's just kind of doing what they believe is right in their own eyes. And in many cases, Christians are having a little bit of difficulty with people out there who are opposed to what Christians stand for. Christians are having to learn to deal with that, and we all need to learn to deal with it. But as we do, we need to be bound together closely. Hey, sister, thank you for coming down. We need to be bound together closely as God commands us to in this time. I think it's also important for me to say, though, that even though things are a little bit rougher for us in America, you know, we're all old enough to know that we never thought we'd ever see something like we're seeing now in this country. We thought that would never happen, and yet it's happening. But having said that, we have brothers and sisters in the rest of the world who have it far, far worse than we do. And we don't need to forget them. You know, it's kind of dark here. It's true. It is getting pretty dark here, spiritually dark. But in some places in the world, it's much, much darker. And there are Christians, our brothers and sisters in the Lord, who are suffering horribly, horribly in other places of the world. Some of them are having to leave their homes. You know that. They're having to flee because people are coming in to try to kill them. And some of them are losing their family members, and some of them are losing their jobs, and some of them are losing their lives. It's really bad in places like that. So we need to think, when we're thinking about our own difficulties, and they're real, but we need to also remember, hey, we've got brothers and sisters who are far worse off, and we need to be lifting them to the Lord in prayer regularly because they need us to support them in prayer. All right, we're going to look at these verses again, 7 through 11 in chapter 4 of 1 Peter. Let's pray that God will help us to understand it, and then we'll read it. Father, we're in your word again, and every time we approach your word, we want to do it with great reverence and fear and knowledge that this is not just the words of men. This is your word. You caused Peter, by filling him with your Holy Spirit, you caused him to write down exactly what you wanted us to hear and read and understand. So I pray, Lord, that we will listen to you well, listen to your word, that your Holy Spirit would work in our hearts to bring us conviction and to bring us enlightenment, and Lord, that you would help us to understand what we're reading and to stay teachable and to grow to be more like Jesus. We pray in his mighty name. Amen. Amen. All right. Let me read the scripture here. Thank you, sister. Let me read the scripture now. It says, "The end of all things is at hand." In other words, we're living in the last age and have been since Peter actually wrote this. The time is coming when the Lord's going to wrap it up. So he says, you can count on it. There's a better day coming. The end of all this is at hand. Therefore, he says, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. We talked about that a couple of months ago. Above all, he says, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Amen. To Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Awesome passage. Isn't that an awesome passage of Scripture? God's Word is so powerful, isn't it? Yeah. Well, there are four keys here, or I call them ties that bind. You know, we used to sing that song, Blessed Be the Tie That Binds. Well, there are four ties here that bind us together in Christ. One of them is prayer. That's in verse 7. That's what we talked about last time. The second one is love. We see that in verse 8. The third one is hospitality. That was in verse 9. You heard me read that. And the last one is spiritual gifts. You heard me read that. That's in verses 10 and 11. And so last time we focused on prayer. Today we're going to focus on verse 8, the tie of love. The tie of love. And I'm guessing that if I'd come here this afternoon and I'd said, now I'm not going to tell you what scripture I'm going to be using, but I'm going to be talking about what binds us together in Christ, what binds us together and holds us together. What do you think I'm going to be talking about? Some of you would have said, oh, love, love, right? And you'd been right, yes, love, because how can you be bound together if we don't have that love? It's so big, it's so huge, yeah, that tie of love. So I'm thinking you would have guessed that. If we're going to be bound together in Christ, there's going to have to be a lot of love. There just has to be a lot of love. Now, the way he says it here in verse 8 is, above all, keep loving one another. My translation said earnestly, earnestly, loving one another earnestly. Some translations say, keep fervent, fervent in your love for one another. Now, the word fervent or earnestly here does not necessarily mean emotionally. I mean, there's nothing wrong with emotions, but it doesn't mean, oh, I love you so much, I think I'm going to cry. Well, there's nothing wrong with crying, and there's nothing wrong with loving somebody so much that you cry about it. There's nothing wrong with that. God made us emotional beings, emotional creatures, and we have emotions, and sometimes we cry. Sometimes crying is really, really good, and God's pleased with it, so don't misunderstand me here, but that's just not what he's talking about right here. The word that's translated fervent or earnestly comes from a Greek word that means with hands stretched out. It's like really doing something with full effort. You know, you're just putting all your energy into it. It was used in some Greek writing to refer to a horse that was racing at full gallop to try to win a race. So it's just giving it all you've got. So the idea is, when we love each other, we're supposed to work at it. We're supposed to put some energy into it. We're supposed to look for opportunities to do good for each other, to practice Christ-like love. Effort, you know, is implied there. Reaching forth to do it. Now, I'm sure that you agree with me that if we could just learn to do that, it would really bind us together. If really worked hard at loving other people. I mean, not just assume that because they're sweet, we're going to like them and be nice to them, but we're going to work hard. Even some people who are kind of unlovable, we're going to try hard to love them. We're going to work at it. We're going to do what we can, put some energy into it to learn how to love people. I think that will bind us together. God says here that this love he's talking about, did you hear the last part of that verse? He says, it will cover a multitude of sins. You want me to get that for you, brother? There you go. You're welcome. It will cover a multitude of sins. Did you hear that? Love covers a multitude of sins. Now that's an interesting phrase. And we might say, well, what on earth does that mean? Love covers a multitude of sins. Here's what I think it means. I believe this is right. In the early church, those early churches, I think people probably spent more time together than we do. For the most part, we don't spend as much time together as they probably did. They were limited. They didn't have automobiles to take them everywhere. They didn't live all over creation. They kind of lived close together, and they spent a lot of time with each other. The closest we can identify with that probably is in those of us who still live at home with families. Now, that's not us, but you can remember that probably when you lived at home with a family. And you had family members all kind of living together a lot, pretty closely. Sometimes people can identify with that in a work situation. If they work with other believers, work with other Christians, and they're together with them a whole lot of the hours of the week, so they're close. The living environment you have here might be that way. You know, you live a little more closely maybe together than a lot of us do. So this close proximity, something happens when we live together in close proximity. Something happens. What happens is, like in our homes, there'll be lots of times, lots of opportunities to see each other's faults. We see everybody's got faults, right? You've got them and I've got them. And we see those things. And we'll do little things. We'll all do little things that can cause problems. You know, we'll annoy people. Have you ever annoyed anybody? Yeah. Have you ever been annoyed? Sure. You know, we irritate each other sometimes. We get under each other's skin a little bit. We may aggravate each other. You know, we may offend each other. Sometimes we say things that we wish hadn't said and those kind of things. We may make thoughtless remarks without thinking it hurts somebody, you know, a little bit with our words. We can ignore the fact that somebody needs some encouragement. Sometimes people around us, a brother or sister, they just need some encouragement. And we may overlook that and just ignore it and not give them the encouragement they need or the praise they need. We may not notice when a brother or sister is just really discouraged and needs lifting up a little bit. You know, we got to notice those things. We may not notice it. If we get so focused on ourselves, we cannot notice it in other people needing that. We can find ourselves criticizing somebody without stopping to think about, wait a minute, I'm doing some damage here with my tongue. I need to be careful. I think you would agree with me. All that kind of behavior is really inexcusable for a Christian. That's just not excusable. I mean, when we're doing those things, we're not really acting like believers, are we? At the moment, we're kind of acting like an unbeliever. We need to be careful about controlling that tongue. It's inexcusable. And hopefully, as we grow in Christ, over a period of years, we ought to be doing those things a little less than we used to. You know, we ought to be controlling our tongue a little bit more. But still, it's true that we often do little things like this to hurt each other. Now, the right thing to do, of course, when we do that kind of thing, is when we realize it, say, oh, I am so sorry. I shouldn't have said that. Would you please forgive me? That was inexcusable. That was wrong for me to say that. I'm so sorry. We need to ask for forgiveness and tell people we're sorry. That ought to be fairly common in the Christian life, especially when we're close to people. On the other hand, if I'm on the receiving end of hurtful words or irritating words, or somebody said something that offended me or hurt me or damaged me, I have another tendency that I can have that will tend to divide us again. So God wants us to be together here. He wants us to bind us together. Well, if I'm not careful, if I'm on the receiving end, if I'm the one getting hurt, I'm the one getting criticized, if I'm not careful, I'll start nursing a grudge. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'll start feeling sorry for myself. I'll start feeling misunderstood. I'll start feeling hurt. Maybe build some resentment in there, a little bit of bitterness in there. Yeah. And that will certainly divide us. It separates us in Christ. So God's warning us here that we need to remember that if we really love one another as He wants us to, that love will cover sins like that. Instead of feeling sorry for ourselves, instead of nursing the grudge, we can say, Lord, You know what that person said to me. And it hurt. I'll be honest with You, Lord, it hurt. You know all about it. I don't know if they meant to hurt me or not, but You know it hurt. And I'm not sure how much they understand they hurt me. But help me to love them enough to just get over it. Help me to love them enough just to let that love cover up that sin. That's what we need to work on till we can bind together. I think Paul may have been getting at that. You know that wonderful passage in 1 Corinthians 13? He wrote a letter to the church at Corinth. They were a pretty immature church. They had a lot of problems. And in the middle of that letter, he wrote this beautiful love chapter, chapter 13. And one of the things he says about love there is that love keeps no score of wrongs. Love keeps no score of wrongs. If somebody hurts me, instead of saying, okay, there's one. Oh, they hurt me again. There's two. Oh, they hurt me again. There's three. No, he says, just let the love cover it up. Just forgive them. You know, what did Jesus say on the cross? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And if He could do that from the cross, we can do that for each other, can't we? We can say, Father, forgive them. I don't think they know what they're doing. So help me not to get bitter and resentment. I've known people, and I bet you have too, who are supposed to be Christians, who dropped out of church. And it wasn't over something theological. It wasn't over something that was being taught that was incorrect or wrong. It was because somebody said something to them that kind of made them feel bad. And instead of letting love cover a multitude of sins, they just dropped out. It happens a lot. And we need to realize, hey, that's probably not what God wants us to do. God wants us to let this love cover the sin. When we've got our eyes on Jesus, just focus on Him. And when we're determined to love other people like He loves people, He wants to love them through us, right? He wants to love them through us. He fills us with His Holy Spirit, and we can love other people that way. And when we do that, we'll be quick to forgive other people. We'll say, Lord, if You've given me, forgiven me so much, I can forgive them for what they said. I can do that because You've given me the grace to do it. Yeah. Now, I think I need to add here, there are some things that are so serious and so difficult and so hard to get past that to overlook them might not be wise. And I think that's why Jesus gave the instructions in Matthew chapter 18. He said, if your brother offends you, go to him and talk with him. And if he listens to you, you've won your brother. Now, he said, if he doesn't listen, then take somebody with you and go talk some more. So sometimes we can't just overlook it and let it go. Sometimes there comes a point where we have to sit down face to face and say, I got something I got to talk to you about. It's very difficult. I don't know if you realize how badly you hurt me the other day when you said this, but it really did sting. It really did cut. It really did hurt. And sometimes they'll say, oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean that. Yeah. And then you've got things fixed. You know, you say, well, I forgive you. Let's go on from here. That's a good thing. Sometimes they may say, I didn't hurt you. You got no business feeling hurt. Get over it, man. Or something like that. And you say, that didn't work. And sometimes you may have to go to get a brother or sister in Christ and say, okay, I need you to go with me to talk to this person, you know. So we just keep working to try to bring about peace, to try to bring about reconciliation, to try to bring about healing, to try to love one another like Jesus loved us. Yeah. We just have to work at it. The ultimate goal is reconciliation. The ultimate goal is peace. Sometimes we can't get there. You know, Paul said in Romans, as far as possible, as far as it lies within you, live at peace with all men. But there's some people that just won't, you know. So we have to just forgive them in our hearts and realize that there's not going to be reconciliation this time. We just can't always have it. But we can always have that forgiveness in our hearts, no matter what. So I think, having said that, that what I'd like to do is just pause here and just stop the study right here today and just talk to the Lord for a little bit. I'm going to pray. And I'm going to ask Him to help us see in ourselves maybe some things that we need to get right with Him. And maybe there's somebody else we need to talk to. I don't know. But let's just examine ourselves right now while we go to the Lord in prayer, okay? Father, I want to thank You that You've given us this passage of Scripture, and You've told us here that there are some things that will bind us together. And You've taught us about praying, and praying with diligence and with self-control and soberness, and in a way that will make a difference in our prayer lives. And Lord, we know that as we pray for each other, You use that to bind us together. And now, Lord, You're teaching us to love one another with fervent, earnest love. And I pray, Lord, You'd help us to learn how to do that. Father, help us to examine ourselves right now as we realize that there are maybe some people who've hurt us, maybe some people who've said things that have stung, maybe some little bit of resentment right now that we're harboring in our hearts. Maybe there's a little grudge that we're nursing. Lord, would You help us just to confess that to You and receive forgiveness from You? I want to thank You that every time we confess our sin, You are faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all that unrighteousness. Thank You so much that through the blood of Jesus that He shed on the cross, we can be forgiven. So Lord, forgive us right now for the way we've maybe harbored resentment or a little bitterness or a little irritation or anger or resentment towards someone because of something they said or did. And Father, help us to not be guilty of that ourselves. It's so easy for us to say things without thinking and then regret it. And we've said words that cut and hurt. Lord, would You help us to control our tongues a little bit better so that we can say things that are gracious and kind and loving and gentle and words that will be edifying, that'll help people grow to be more like Jesus, that'll help people to want to be like Jesus, to want to be close to us, and that they'll see Jesus in us by the words that come out of our mouths. Would You help us, Lord, to be kind? And then, Father, You said that love would cover a multitude of sins. So help us to love other people in such a way that we can just forget those past hurts and forget those slights and forget those little cuts and just love in Jesus, Lord. When we think about how much You've forgiven us, Lord, we know it's a small thing for us to forgive other people things they've done to hurt us. People did so much to hurt You, Lord. We've done so much to hurt You, and yet You have forgiven us. So how awesome You are. We want to praise You and glorify You and worship You and love You forever. And Lord, we want to love our brothers and sisters in a way that will help You reach into their hearts and just bind them close to Yourself and bind us close to each other. And we'll give You all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
After the Bible study was concluded, Vicki and I were just moving around the room talking to different people who were in attendance. And one of the men I talked to was a 91-year-old man who had written a song, and he sang it to me. My mic was still on, so it was recorded, and I thought you might enjoy it. I think it'll be a blessing for you. So here it is.
I've got a little song I really would like to sing for you.
Okay.
I'll make it quick.
All right.
When I am down in soul and spirit, I think of Jesus on the cross. I came to earth and live his life there, so that his sheep would not be lost. Oh, sinner friend, please pray for me. that I might ever from sin be free. My Savior died upon the cross so that his sheep would not be lost.
Oh, yes. Amen. I love it. You wrote that?
Yeah.
That is awesome, brother. That is awesome.